Man. Good morning, everybody. Man, it's so good. It is just so good. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible to just watch what God does in those moments, man. And I want to tell you, what you do in worship matters. What you are in worship matters. Your being here matters. You're encouraging somebody else. Scripture says that we don't give up meeting together. Because when we do, we come together, and it's the word literally is spur one another on to love and good works. It's like kicking a horse in the side of motivation, man. It's to move forward. And I'm telling you, I need a good kick every now and then to help me move forward, don't you? I'm telling you, I mean, it's such a powerful blessing to see. And my buddy Xavier's here today. Where are you over here, man? Where are you? Right here he is. And I have to say, it's been like a year and a half since he's been able to be here, man. And just, I'm not going to go into the circumstances, but just the blessing that he's here and able to be with us. It's just such a powerful, powerful thing. It was so funny because he walked in, he said, man, wow. Because he was at the other place. And you guys that didn't experience the place before this, it would fit in the lobby out front. I mean, literally, the whole building would fit in the lobby. And so walking into here is so much different and so much of a blessing. And hey, listen, it wouldn't be a blessing without you here. So can we just welcome all of our first-time guests? Again, we have them all over the place. I'm so glad you're here. If you've never done this before, or if you have and you've changed an address and you're a partner or whatever you've done, if you've changes, please, if you look at the chair in front of you, there's a pen and a connection card. If you would just fill that out, I would really appreciate that so we can connect. And we promise we always give this kind of a no-hassle-free thing. We're not going to bother you or whatever. No, no-hassle-free means we're going to bother you. It's a hassle-free. Anyway, so yeah, we're not going to bug you, but we do want to connect with you. And if you don't like writing on paper, if you're like me, you're more of an electronics guy, if you go to discoveryal.church, the same connection card in front of you is now online. You can connect there, and the people who need to get that will get it, and we'll connect with you. And hey, there's nothing better than a personal touch, though, man. Just hang out with us for a while. Let us get to know you a little bit afterwards. Try not to jet out. And I'm going to do everything within my power today to keep us on time and moving forward. Can we just give a hand? They can't hear it, but a hand clap of praise for our children's workers. Come on, can we do that? It's awesome. The Bible says, honor to whom honor, right? And so what they do back there, I mean, they take these children and just love on them and give them Jesus. And just it's just a wonderful blessing to have. And so and it's secure. Everything's good. And I just appreciate so much everything that the whole crew is doing back there. So welcome. Can we welcome our online church? Hey, online church. We love you guys, too. We're glad you're here. And you also can go on the Discovery website and just click on the Connect tab and connect with us. We'd love to know. Where is Eli? Did Eli make it back? Are you here, brother? Where's Eli? There's Eli. Everybody say hello to Eli. Hey, somebody say, who's Eli? This brother walks in. We're getting up here ready to get ready for worship. So a handful of us came in, and he walks in the front door. And originally from Odessa, Texas, I think, and he's driving a tractor trailer that's sitting out here. And he said, you know, I'll park my truck, and I thought, I want to come to church today. So he just is here. He's on his way through, headed to the great metropolitan city of Lynn, Alabama. So he's headed down there to make a delivery, and we wish you Godspeed, you and your son, brother. And so glad you got to stop off and be a part of our service today. And so many others, man, just such a blessing every week to see new faces and people coming through, and we want you to stay. We don't want you to come and leave. We want you to stay, and so we honestly want that. So, hey, we're in a series right now. Let's get into some preaching. Y'all want some word? Y'all ready for some word? Awesome, awesome. We're in 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2 today, the second half of chapter 2. Hey, let me stop before I go any further, because this message is always pertinent, but some of the things I want to say today, it's become more pertinent after what happened yesterday in Butler, Pennsylvania. And so when I don't watch news, okay? So Brandon called me and, have you heard what happened to former President Trump? And I said, I haven't heard. And he told me, and so I turned the news on and started watching it. And I was astounded, once again, that something bad happens in our country, and every news anchor, every person on the scene, every person they interviewed, just about all of them, said, Hey, we're just shocked. We're praying for our country. 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 And that ramps up when something bad happens. Have you noticed that? After 9/11, all these people started coming back to church, and then life started happening, and people trickled away again. It's just this wave. And I know it's people, and I know it's part of the culture and whatever it is. But man, to hear, I'm not a political guy. I try not to get into that. And I kind of edged into it a couple of weeks ago, and I scared myself absolutely to death. But I do want to say that we have a great country, and we need to honor all of our leaders. And we don't need to just, I mean, we need to be praying for President Biden. We need to be praying for his cabinet. We need to be praying for our governors and our mayors and everybody, because all of a sudden now it's like, how does a guy get that close to shoot at our president? In that, that's the big question and all those things. And it's on everybody's heart and mind. So right now, church, it's time to be the light. It's not time to put our head in the sand. It's not time to hide from this whole thing. Let's talk about it, not from a political standpoint. If we can do that, if you can get out of the politics of it. And I got so tickled. Now, I'm going to say this and I'll shut up about it, maybe. But I'm watching Hannity, and Hannity kept saying, well, we don't want to get political. And they didn't get political. I'm like, why are you getting into this stuff? Why are you saying that? And I'm a Hannity fan. I like some of these guys, but I'm like, come on, man. Don't say you're not and then go do it. Jump off in the head first, you know, and all this stuff. Listen, we're one country, and if we don't get together and under the name of God, in the name of Jesus, trusting in the Holy Spirit to run what's going on around here, y'all, listen, God put us here for that. I don't care who wins the White House in November. God's still in charge. I don't care who's in the White House. The White House ain't going to save anybody. It's only God's place and God's world. And more people, I had a few people text me and say, oh, you know, I'm nervous or whatever. I'm like, listen, just trust in Christ and follow him. And we're all good. And that's what this whole message is about today, not the politics part of it, but Jesus is the center of everything. Last week, the key phrase, when you came in, if you got a worship guide, you should have some sermon notes in there. If you want to follow along, pull those out. If you don't, it's going to be on screen anyway. The key thought for today is this. Since Christ is our rock, cornerstone, and foundation, we show forth an honorable life in the world around us, no matter the cost. It'd be easy to say to show forth an honorable life, but when you say, well, does it cost me something? One of the first questions people want to know about coming to follow Jesus is, am I going to have to give up this and stop doing that? Can I not do this anymore? Do I have to? It's all the do's and don'ts that they think religion is all about. And really, what Jesus does is he gives you the opportunity to live the best possible life you could possibly live on this planet, in, as broken as it is. And so he gives us the strength to do that. And living that honorable life, no matter what it cost us, and the people Peter was writing to, it was costing them. It was costing them to follow Jesus. Some of them literally their lives. And all over the world, even today, hundreds of thousands of people are dying because they name Jesus as Lord. And we cannot even imagine that. And we pray that we don't ever have to imagine that. But I'm going to tell you something. It's edging toward it. And I want you to understand that if it ever gets there, you already have to have decided. Brandon preached a series years ago, I'll never forget it, called Pre-Decide. It was this idea of you decide before you go out on the date that you're not going to do certain things. You decide prior to how you live your life, how you're going to live your life. And if you pre-decide that, then a lot of other things are determined. If I go to the restaurant already pre-decided that I'm going to eat right, then I've got that in my head and I look for something on the menu to eat well. And if I don't, then I will likely eat whatever I want to and it'll cost me every time. And we have to pre-decide how we're going to live our lives. And y'all, we got to quit being scared of it. We've got to quit being afraid of saying Jesus is Lord and living our lives in that way. You see, our sin nature, I'm going to show you some things on screen, the difference between it. This challenges us because it bumps up against what the Bible calls our sin nature. Do you ever wonder why in the world you have the propensity to sin? Why is it that when the person cuts you off in traffic, your propensity is not to back off and give them the road? It's to beat them to wherever you're going, even though you don't know them. You're in a race right then, right? Your sin nature just takes over. I don't do that, but I know you guys do. And we were driving yesterday. Liz is telling Tabitha the truth over here is what she's doing. We were going up to Spring Hill, Tennessee yesterday. It was her birthday. Happy birthday to my wife, by the way, yesterday. And so we were going up to eat. Why Spring Hill? Just because we wanted to go out for a ride, and we're driving on the interstate, and this guy started playing the game. Playing the game, right? Got over in front of me, and I'm doing my regular speed limit, whatever my speed limit is, and I'm driving it, and he pulls over not doing my speed limit, and I wind up close to his bumper. Now, my car won't let you get too close without going, beep, 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 get out of the way. It'll give you all these alarms and stuff. But I thought, we ain't gonna do that, man. Why are you doing that? So he started playing this little nasty game with me. So once the slow car got by, I was gonna, expect him to move over like he's supposed to, right? No, he did not. He did not. So I moved over. So he sped up. And I told Liz, I said, he's playing this little game. I know what he's playing. And I would feed into that. See, our sin nature wants us to feed into those things because it smacks at our joy. And God doesn't want you living outside of joy. And that's just a small example, but our sin nature does this. Here's some examples on screen. You can write these. I don't think they're in your notes, but or maybe I did put them in. Did I put them in the notes? Sin nature, spiritual nature? Okay, I didn't. You can write these down. If you don't catch them up, you can get it later. I'll send them to you if you want them. Our sin nature says we take revenge. Our spiritual nature says we allow God to do that. It's going to be in the text. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Our sin nature says we fight back. Our spiritual nature says we forgive. Our sin nature will curse our leaders, and I've been guilty of it, making fun of our president, making fun of the people around them, and making fun of all the things they teach and believe. It's one thing to disagree. It's another thing to make light of the person who is in that office. And I'm going to show you scripture on that in just a little bit. This message, by the way, was written way before everything that happened yesterday. This is one reason I love preaching through books is I'm not dictating the text. This is just where I am in the Bible. And God happened to put it on a day after what happened yesterday when it's so fresh on our hearts. You see, in our sin nature, we curse our leaders. We make fun of them. In spiritual nature, we honor those in authority. If the president of the United States walked in here right now, walked up on this stage, we would give deference and honor to who he is because of his office and his authority. I don't agree with everything he says. I'm just saying that's what we would do. And same for mayors and those people that are in authoritative positions. When a cop gets behind you and the lights come on, you pull over. And if you don't, you pay the price, right? We give in to authority because of our spiritual nature. Our sin nature gossips about our boss, talks about our boss and how crazy. They get in a break room and that's all we talk about is how crazy the boss is. Our spiritual nature says we're willing and patient. We're willingly and patiently submitting to them because of who they are in this moment. You don't have to like it. Nobody said you had to like it. But submission is willingly giving ourselves in. And our sin nature lashes out when we're wrong, and our spiritual nature actually reaches out when we're wronged. And I'm going to tell you something. If you reach out when you're wrong to people instead of lashing out, it changes everything in the situation. Every time. It always de-escalates things. So today's really about freedom and authority. It's about freedom and authority. Do we live in freedom in Christ? Yes or no? Okay, yes, we do. But do we live under authority in this world while we're in this world? Absolutely, we do. And if our authority is completely and submitted completely to Jesus Christ, then what he's saying is it's going to affect everything else about our life. And next week, it even gets tougher because it's wives submit to your husbands, husbands love your wives again. And these books, these letters keep going back to that because these guys were living in a culture where everything was out of kilter and men were hard on people and were cracking whips and stuff. They lived under a regime of imperial rule that was very difficult for them. And they couldn't even do certain things because of the rule of the day. And so when Jesus says, you honor me by living like you're supposed to in that particular situation, that's the call of the message. And the first point for the day is this. Oh, let me back up. Peter's still talking about living under Christ, okay? Just like Paul did in Colossians and just like every other New Testament book does. It's all assuming that you're living your life under the rule of Christ. So when I preach these things, and some of the stuff that I say that's my opinion, please, just you do what you want to do with that, okay? But when God says something, when the Lord says something out of his word, we don't get to go, I don't know about that part. We don't get to do that. because we're under his authority. And he gets to rule that and to judge that. And praise God that he does. And praise God that he's the God of grace and mercy that he is, right? So here we go. Point number one today is this, is we have to submit to human authority. We submit to human authorities. Peter says it this way in the Word. There's two different sections of this, and then in each section there is an instruction, which I'm about to give you here, and then he gives the why of the instruction. I love that in the Bible. It doesn't just say, here's a bunch of rules for you to do. Here's the why of your doing it. And oftentimes religion makes us go, well, I don't want to do all that. I have to do all that. Do I have to go? Do I have to? No, you don't have to. You get to. Because if he's ruling in your life, then it's a get to, not a got to. That's one of the things we say around here a lot. We want to change your have to. You don't have to come to church. You get to come worship a great, amazing, powerful God with some awesome people in this room and outside this room. And if you have a home church somewhere else in the room where you guys worship, in the style you worship, the point is we worship, right? He's the one who's in authority. So the first thing is we submit to human authority. And here's the instruction from Peter. For the Lord's sake, and by the way, Jessica, when I put some of these passages up, we may leave them hanging just a little longer than normal. May not, just kind of follow. By the way, Jessica's an awesome lyric person. I love Jessica. She's great. So he says, for the Lord's sake, submit. Starts already right there, right? Submit to all human authority, whether the king is head of state, or the officials he has appointed, for the king has sent them, that is these officials, to punish those who do right or do wrong and honor those who do right. This idea of starting this whole thing off with for the Lord's sake, that simply means because Jesus is your Lord. He's the reason you treat your authority, your leaders with a proper authority. And by the way, I don't think we have to be a doormat. I've said this already. I'll qualify it one more time, then I'll hush. You don't have to agree with everything. Not even everything I say. I'm not asking you just to buy everything I'm selling, but I'm saying that when the authority of that, the authority of leadership, kids, you don't have to buy everything your parents are selling because you're probably not going to understand it anyway. You're like, what are you telling me that for? You sound like an idiot. My parents were so dumb until I got to have kids of my own. And boy, I got smart, man. Then I got really smart. And sometimes it takes that length of time to figure out that they're there for a reason. And I'm not talking about, I'm not going to qualify anymore. Y'all know who I'm not talking about, and you know who I'm talking about, okay? If you don't, talk to me afterwards. And so Jesus is the reason we respect our leadership. He says, submit. Everybody say humility. Humility. Humility, man. This week, I was sitting at my desk or something. I may have been in bed. I've been sick a couple of days this week. I had a reaction to the infusion I had on Monday and spent some time just dog sick on Wednesday. I don't remember when this was given to me, but just the word humility popped in my mind. And I knew who that was for. It wasn't for me. It was for y'all. Yeah, it took you a minute. That's one of those 12-second jokes. You know, so you get it in just a minute. But you see what I'm saying? This word humility, and I was just like, God is telling me, look, you need to humble yourself. Your expectations of what everybody else needs to do or should do has to lower because God is the one that gets the has to and the shoulds in my life, and I have to humble myself before him, and therefore that helps trickle out to do what I'm supposed to do whether anybody else does or not. And we don't get that luxury to go, well, I'll just do what I want to do. No, we get to do what our Lord wants us to do. I don't know how many times I'm going to say that today, but it's probably not going to be enough. Humility is the key. It's the key to all of this. And if you've always had an arrogant spirit, the first thing you need to do is get shed of that. That's south, that's southern for you guys up north. That means get rid of it. And you can either do it or let God do it. That's up to you. I, from experience, I can tell you it's much easier just to, okay, Lord, I got you. I don't understand it, but I trust it. And the why is this. He said, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. I think it's hilarious that Peter calls them ignorant people. These crazy people that accuse you of things that are not something that you're a part of. He says, you live an honorable life whether your leaders do what they're supposed to or not. And they're going to make accusations against you. Some of the accusations that first century Christians were up against were things like, oh, those guys are cannibals. They eat people. They eat humans. And they were like, what? Yeah, Jesus, their Lord, said you have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. So that's cannibalism. And they were up against these crazy thoughts about who they were. And Christians would do crazy things like save children that were put on the ash heap because they wanted to do away with those kids and just throw them out on the ash heap because it was not the right sex of the baby, or they didn't like the way the baby looked, or something happened when the baby was born, and if this mystical idea that we'll just get rid of that baby, well, Christians would go rescue them. That's where orphanages started. And so that kind of thought process made people go, these people are crazy. What's wrong with these people? Well, it's because they're serving God. It's God's will that you live an honorable life, no matter what everybody else is doing, for you are free, and your God, for you are free. Everybody say, I'm free. But I'm God's slave. Everybody say, I'm God's slave. If you're serving him, you're free, but you're his servant. Amen. You're his. We said a couple weeks ago, he bought you with a price. He paid with the price of his son. If anybody in this room gave a son for somebody else, you would never stop saying thank you. You would never stop trying to do everything you could to do something to love that person back. And you could never repay what they did for you, but you would always want that desire in your heart. It's exactly what God has done for us. And so, yes, we are his slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. That sounds to me like a little bit like this idea of abusing grace. They say, well, you know, God's so good, it doesn't matter what I do. He's going to love me anyway and save me anyway. And we use that. And we excuse ourselves to do whatever it is that we want to do. And he says, if you do the right thing and you honor people around you and you honor your leaders, and the next time somebody dogs out somebody in a conversation who's one of our leaders, you say, excuse me, that's my president. Yeah. And for some of y'all, I just spoke anathema. Let's just be honest. And so the whole crux behind all of this is you have to have Jesus as your Lord. If he's not, then you're going to buck against most of the things that a lot of this is asking us to do today. And I love this last verse here. I'm going to say it and we'll comment a minute on it before we move on. He says, you respect everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and respect the king. It's like this bang, 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 this last four points. He's like, you respect everyone. The word for respect here is honor. It's what all teenagers do when their parents walk into the room. They go, oh, it's my parents. That's honor. Y'all are laughing because that's never happened to you. If that happened to you, you'd just go right there. You just fall over. I mean, it'd be over, right? But that's what honor means. It's what every wife should experience when she walks into the room and her husband's there. He goes, oh, this is my bride. This is the one I love. It's an honor. Same thing, other way around. It's this idea of, this is my man. This is my man of God right here. I'm honored to be a part of his life. That's respect. And he says to give that kind of respect to everyone. He says, love the believers. This is a special kind of love. And you read it through the New Testament, and I think this is off the top of my head, but one of the Johns, 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John says that you know, do something like, or is it Jude? It talks about the love feast, that people would come together and have these love feasts. And it's just this time. It's what I feel when I come here. It's like we just all love and we care about each other and trying to grow and learn. And man, to hear new people come in and say that they sense that and see that, that means that something right is happening. And I love that kind of thing. We love each other. Special family members, that's who we are. And it's so cool when you go to, like Eli walks in today. He comes up and introduces himself to me. And he's from Odessa, Texas, but he's my brother. He's my brother in Jesus Christ. We're blood kin by the blood of Christ. And I'm so, it excited me, man. We just stood in the foyer out there and just talked for a while, and then we just prayed. And there's this sense of connection that we have that nobody else in the world can possibly know what it's like. You don't see anybody the same way ever again because of Jesus in your life. And then he says, fear God. It's interesting, he says, respect everyone, love believers, and then he says, fear God. I looked this word up. It literally means to put to flight. It means to run from. And in the Old Testament, you saw that happen over and over again. Wherever God was, they wanted to be out of there, man. They don't want to be. Moses up on a mountain, there's all kinds of earthquakes and stuff going, not going to that mountain. No way. They felt like there was this push against God. And I think that's the God I grew up with because I was the same way. Just make him happy so he'll be quiet. He won't bother me and I'll be okay. That's kind of my view of God growing up. Not fully, but you know what I'm saying? I had that sense of that kind of fear. You know, the other kind of fear, there's two different definitions. The other one, of course, you know, is reverence. It's obedience because of who he is. There's this reverent fear. And the answer to which kind of God you have is determined directly by your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you see God as this, oh, no, I'm scared of you, Lord. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, I just hope I die on a good day. And you got this fearful living. You're just living because you're scared to death. The only reason you come to church is because you're afraid God's going to be mad if you don't. If that's your living your life that way, come on, y'all. You got to stop because God's not looking to get you. God's looking to love you. God's looking for a relationship with you. He wants to be close to you. He spent eternity planning for you. Before he ever said, let there be light, he knew Jesus would die for my sins because I needed him to. And then it says, respect the king. We fear God, but we respect the king. And we've talked a lot about that already. The second point today is this, is to submit to vocational authority. We won't spend quite as much time here because there's a lot of the same principles. It just puts it in the Bible puts it in the language of slavery. And as soon as we say slavery in our culture, we think of what happened, you know, in our country and the Civil War and civil rights and all those things. Completely different kind of thing, I do believe, from here. I think there were bad masters and they treated their slaves poorly back in that day, but this is not something like that. This is more like an indigenous. It's more like an indentured servant. It's more like this idea of someone coming and working for someone else in order to be able to provide for their family, and they just so happen to be called a servant. But here's what he says. You who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. This is the instruction he's giving. The why comes later. He says, do what they tell you, not only if they're kind and reasonable, but even if they're cruel. There's that if clause again. It doesn't matter how they treat you. You still live honorably. I could mention names of famous people throughout the world who's lived for God and suffered terribly and terrible deaths. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, most of you know that name. Corrie ten Boom. These people went through terrible things and they always lived the honorable life anyway. And it didn't make it all great and peaches and cream for them either. In fact, it made it harder for them. But he's saying that living in these situations, when you are at a place, we'll just put it in our home mentality. If you're at a place where you're working and the boss isn't who you wanted her to be or she to be or he to be, whatever, if you don't want that to be, then either move somewhere else or submit to what's going on in that situation. That's what Paul is saying. He said, you live honorably in that situation. Now, let me give this one caveat. If somebody asks you to do something outside the will of God, you do not have to do that. You make a choice then. And I've had people say, well, if I do that, then I'm going to lose my job. I say, but you still serve a God who can give you a job better than that. Amen. Or even if he doesn't, you can serve a God who lets you live in that situation for a while to figure out just how good he is. I'm telling you, man, the whole point here is keep God at the pinnacle of everything. Because he says the why is this. For God is pleased when, and look at this little phrase, conscious of his will. When you're conscious of his will. What does that mean? That means that when I'm in a situation where I give respect or I don't give respect, if I'm conscious of his will and I know what he wants for me in my life, then I will give honor to whom honor and respect where it needs to be, even if I don't feel those things. Paul is asking us to do some hard stuff here. He says, you patiently endure unjust treatment. And I love this little phrase. I said Paul. I meant Peter. Peter says in verse 20, well, of course, you get no credit for being patient if you're beaten for doing wrong. I mean, if a cop pulls you over and you're speeding, don't go, well, Lord, you just let me suffer today. No, you get a ticket because you was doing wrong. I mean, that's part of the deal, right? And so this idea of suffering, he goes on to say, but if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. Now, what's the why of this whole thing? It's how he ends this entire section. I'm sorry, I'm going to pull my britches up because I'm losing weight, and it's pathetic. It's a good problem to have, but, it, you know, it's just in public, you just got to be doing this sometime. I'm sorry. The ultimate why, guys. I've already said, here's the key statement again. Since Christ is our rock and our cornerstone, since he's the foundation and we show forth an honorable life in this world around us, no matter the cost, the last thing today is this, that Jesus is our example of suffering and submission. And he goes to say this, listen, this is so beautiful. This is the key to this letter. It's the key to the last book I preached through in Colossians. It's the key to all the New Testament and all the Old Testament. In fact, it's the key to life is knowing these things I'm about to read to you. If you want to know what the gospel is all about, I'm about to tell you. And I want to try to hope my best. I'm hoping to try my best to be able to connect that to you so that the end of this phrase, that you today, if you're not a believer in Christ, that you can make that decision to become a believer in Christ. And you can maybe pray over something in your life that you need prayer for. And we're gonna sing and worship and those things. But I want you to understand that if you didn't get anything else I said today, don't miss this, because this is the key to being able to submit to any other authority that's over us. But he says this: for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. One of the principles we learn in leadership is to never ask somebody to do something you're not willing to do yourself. Even if you're not able to do it. There's a lot of things around here that gets done that I couldn't do anywhere near as good as people who do it. Praise God. But this principle of leadership is that Jesus, he learned obedience, Hebrews 2:10 says, through suffering. I don't know why God chose it this way, other than his immense, incredible, unbelievable, unfathomable love that he has for you. You can't point to any other God, any other religion, any other thing that says, I love you so much that I'll give my son for you. I'll come live like you. Here's how he describes it. He said, he is your example, and you follow in his steps. And then he gives the steps. First thing, he never sinned. He never deceived anyone. Sorry, you can't do that one. He did it for you so you don't have to. Come on, y'all, that's good news. You mean if I give my life to Jesus, I don't have to be just like him? As best you can, yes, but he knows. Just like you know your kids are going to disobey before you ever have them, you have them anyway. God had us anyway. He put us here. He loves us so much that every time that I sin, his blood just washes it away again. Why? Because he never sinned. He never deceived anybody. And I want to put a little phrase after each of these texts that might surprise some of you, but this is the phrase. He never sinned, nor he didn't never deceived anyone, but he could have. He could have. Why is that important? Well, if he couldn't have, being sinless was no big deal. He could have lusted, because he was tempted to. He could have stole something, because he was tempted to. He could have unjustly got angry at somebody and took it out on them. He said he didn't do that. He didn't sin. Next phrase. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. But he could have. He could have said, Father, I'm done with this. Bible says he could have called at any second 10,000 angels to come at his side and take out whatever was going on in his problem. If he's on the cross, he could have done that, but he didn't. It says here, he did not retaliate. The Bible compares him to a lamb. And a lamb going to slaughter doesn't do anything. They're just calm. Jesus is that lamb, and he suffered for you. He took the insults. Next time somebody insults you, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what that feels like. No other religion, no other God, no other anything offers the situation that Jesus did. He can say to you, I know exactly how you feel. I know how you feel when you feel wronged and insulted. Don't give in to the temptation to sin. And then he says, he personally carried his sins in his body on the cross so that, everybody say so that. He carried our sins on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Now, what does that even mean? People used to say that when I was a kid growing up in church. You'd just be dead to sin. Put sin to death. Does that just mean stop sinning? No, that means if you make Jesus the Lord of your life and Holy Spirit is in you, you're going to have the power and the ability to be able to say, I'm living, I'm not dying anymore. It's a choice to ask him to come and to be a part of your heart and your life. But once he's there, y'all, he becomes this personally carried your sins around. And he's already paid for them. He's already paid for them. You don't have to live for the things that are in your life anymore. You can live for something better. You can live for something better. And then I love this phrase, by his wounds we are healed. It's a quote right out of Isaiah 53. A lot of these are out of Isaiah 53. And I've heard this misused, you know, about physical healings and some different things and people throwing out, by his wounds he heals everything and all those things. Y'all, this specifically is talking about because of the stripes he took, because of the beatings he took, because of the blood he shed, because he hung on a cross for 6 hours, because he died. All of those things, he took on our wounds in the worst possible way you could think of. But it didn't stop there. The God of heaven died. It's not supposed to happen. Disciples are confused. And if you read the story without knowing the end of the story, you'd be confused too. Wait a minute, whoa, this wasn't supposed to end this way. They didn't think it was either. They wouldn't listen, a lot of them. And I love the text after Jesus comes out of the grave, because the third day he rose out of the grave, y'all. That's what it's all about. He came out of the grave, and later on the Bible would say something like, yeah, and the disciples remembered then what he said, and they believed. And they believed. We have the beauty of looking back and reading those stories, entrusting it into our heart, and letting him heal the spiritual wounds that are in us. Some of you are living with unforgiveness. Some of you are living with anger. Some of you have some physical ailments. I didn't say he couldn't heal. I just said this particular text is not saying that, all right? He can heal, and he will if he chooses to do that. And you answer, I can't answer all the questions about what he does and doesn't do because he's God and I'm not. But I can say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he loves you. And he ends it with this phrase, once you were like sheep who wandered away. Is that you? You know, when a sheep wanders away, it can't find its way back. It has no hope without a shepherd. Lost. It's like, duh, I don't know what to do. If a sheep could talk, that's what he'd sound like. Duh, I don't know what to do. Where am I going to go? That would be my cartoon voice for a sheep. And it needs a shepherd to come along and say, hey, call him by name. And he recognizes his voice. And he follows that shepherd wherever the shepherd says to go. He says, you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you've turned to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. Prayer team, will you please take your places? In a moment, we're going to offer a time of prayer. And as we worship and as we sing this song, I believe. If you believe, would you just say that with me? I believe. Come on, y'all stand up with me. As we end today, you're going to have an opportunity. For those of you who are guests and are new with us, there are people all around this room, men and women. You, please, they're in the back, they're in the front down here, and they are wanting you to come and pray with them. They're not going to get in your business. They just want to pray over you, but it's completely, totally your choice to do so. Totally your choice to do so. Father, I just pray over this whole group right now that for those in this room, Lord, who are thinking about taking a step, I pray they will, Father. I pray that if they don't take a physical step, they will a spiritual step, a moment in time where they can say, I want to connect to Jesus. You may not even know how to do that, Lord. They may not know how to do it, but Lord, you guide their hearts and guide their lives in every way. Father, I pray that we would choose today to trust to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start singing this song. And that's your cue. You can do any move at any time to come down and receive prayer. Whoever it is, please don't miss this opportunity. Come and receive prayer today, and we'll be dismissed in just a moment. Let's worship together.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three.
It's been a great day. Yeah, let's give God a hand clap of praise. We love him. Again, if you're a guest with us, please, those connection cards you filled out, if you'll drop them in those black boxes in the back. Church partners, don't forget to tithe today before you leave. If you haven't done it electronically, you want to do it physically, y'all know where the boxes are. Our honored guests, all of you, we're so glad you're here. Every time we see you, we love you. Have a great Sunday and a great rest of your week.